here's a story from The World.
Early in Ukraine's war, that nation's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, made a plea for foreign volunteers. He asked them to come to his country to fight and defend, as he put it, Europe and the world. A few weeks later, he announced some 16,000 volunteers had heeded the call. The foreign fighters and medics are spread throughout the country. This week, Ukrainian journalist Volodymyr Solohub sat down with members of one brigade called the International Legion of Ukraine. They were east of Kharkiv, just 2 or 3 miles from the war's front lines. Volodymyr joins us now from Dnipro in eastern Ukraine. Volodymyr, set the scene for us. Where did you meet this group?
Getting access to military or the frontline positions is very difficult. And getting access to military on the frontline positions is close to impossible. It took us 2 days to try and arrange this meeting, and we knew one of the platoon commanders there and arranged the meeting with him. And it was only when we met him in person we found out that he's a member of Ukraine International Legion, even though he's a Ukrainian soldier.
Hmm. Volodymyr, what other countries are represented in the Foreign Legion Corps you visited?
There are people from all over the world. While we were there, we were talking to 2 different Americans, several Germans. There was someone from Ireland and someone from Croatia and Georgia. So it's like a international military United Nations here in Ukraine.
Now, I know not everyone in the group is fighting. Some are providing medical care. Isn't that right?
Yes. Glana, someone we met when we got to these frontline positions and we started talking to the guys, she said that she's a combat medic, but she is one of the few of the medics in the unit, which has almost 75 people. They said that they are in drastic need of more medics in their unit.
We're going to hear a bit of your interview with Glana. She asked for security reasons that we not use her last name. What struck you about her?
Actually, she was a very forthcoming person. And when we were there, she was actually the only female member of the unit among those that we've seen when we were in these positions.
That's interesting. Glana, I know, is there helping provide medical care in the field, but she has seen some combat, hasn't she?
Yeah, actually 3 days before we arrived, they told us that they were hit quite heavily by Russian artillery and cluster bombs. They said that it lasted for several hours, and they lost one of their men in that incident. And Glenna told me when she got to the body of that person that was killed, she thought it was her platoon commander, and she froze for a second.
And Glenna has not had a lot of formal medical training, has she?
No, not at all. Before coming to Ukraine, she briefly used to work in an ambulance, and before that, she was a Navy service person. She told me she had some combat training once she got to Ukraine and volunteered.
What motivated Glenna to travel across the world and put herself in harm's way?
She saw in the news what is happening in Ukraine, and she told me that she thought that this was absolutely wrong when a big, powerful country unprovokedly invades another country, being Ukraine.
I feel like it's a human thing. It's just not right to sit on the couch and knowing you can make a difference and sit there and watch and send pennies and, I don't know, add an extra dollar to my McDonald's drive-thru thing. And I could actually be here doing hands-on. My mom asked me the same thing. I told her there's 100 pennies in a dollar. I know I'm not, you know, Johnny Rambo gonna win the war, but, you know, it's a bunch of gears and a clock, so.
So when did you get here, and how did you actually get to Ukraine?
I got here on April 1st, so April Fool's. I left Utah on the 31st of March. So I got on a plane, Seattle, Germany, and then to Poland. I was like, well, I might die here doing this, so I'm going to get a 5-star hotel. Wasted all my money on a 5-star hotel. So I hit the train station, took me a whole day. Then the train, they wouldn't transfer over my ticket, so I ended up walking 6 miles in a snowstorm. with all my gear, it was awful. And then I finally got to the border, and when I crossed, the Ukrainian guys, the border patrol, they gave me more crap than the Polish people did or anybody else did. Like, why are you here? I was like, I'm here to join the Legion. How long are you gonna stay? Until you don't need me. I don't know. And then, yeah, I crossed, and it was a long walk at the border crossing. And then it's raining. It looked like something out of a movie. There's a small pinup tent that you take to a soccer game that said Legion spray painted on the side. And I was like, that must be it. And here I am.
How has it been for you down here on the front line?
The whole air raid things and the missiles and the strikes, it's very hard to sleep comfortably or get sleep at all. I don't know how these people have been doing it for 2-3 months now since this thing started. Like, I'm definitely shell-shocked. But it's just, it's something deep down that just, like, when I lay my head in sleep at bed at night, it's not safe. And that's the only way I can put it.
You are part of the International Legion fighting here. Can you tell me a little bit more about the people who surround you?
Yeah. I was Utah, very sheltered, haven't really been very many places, and so I haven't really met a Croatian or someone from Ireland or someone like that, and I got here and it was just such a culture shock. I learned so many things every day. We cook meals together like a family, at least the group that I'm with. We always sit down together and eat. We all take turns cooking and cleaning, and we tell each other stories from our home, and it's crazy. It's like nothing I've ever seen before.
Does it feel weird to be thousands of miles away from your home, surrounded by people from all over the world, cooking, as you said, together, yeah, getting meal together, but then at the same time risking your lives and being at risk of being killed every moment?
Yeah, it's like a 2-mile walk for me to come and get Wi-Fi. And, you know, I'll download like a movie or something, and then I'll go back. For some reason, I don't know why, I keep looking at my photos, and I'll scroll back from photos from home. As for my platoon, it's like, I hope to God, like, when we had those airstrikes that we lost somebody, I got there, and he kind of looked like my platoon leader, and I froze for a second. I was like, this is someone I've ate with and drank with, but I'm trying my best. And those other guys, after the shelling that happened, ended up leaving, put things into perspective for them. I don't blame them at all. I mean, they had kids and wives and stuff like that. I don't have anything like that. And so I've never actually been mortared before. I mean, that shell landed like, I would say like 30, 40 yards behind me. And I remember falling down the hill. But I pray to God that I never actually have to treat one of these guys, because I don't know how I would be able to do it. They're like family now. Like, we've all made plans to, I don't know, come back here when it's good and clear, or go to some hotel and party, or go visit each other and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know how I'm actually going to be able to, I don't know, treat one of these guys when I see him lying there. But yeah, I'd gladly fight by him and just die by him. They're just family.
That's an American volunteer named Glenna on the front lines in eastern Ukraine. She spoke with our colleague, Ukrainian journalist Volodymyr Solohub.